and welcome to the hearing. I'm John.
And from Chicago's North Side, I am Scotto.
And before we get to this week's album, just a quick mention, quick plug. I recorded an album of original songs. I've mentioned it in a previous episode. It's done. It's on Bandcamp right now. It'll be on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, etc. Hopefully next week. It's called Forgotten Friend by John H. Maloney. 7 songs, a little over 25 minutes. Just vocal and ukulele. I almost said it the way that annoys me. It annoys me when anybody who's not Hawaiian says it the correct way. Anyway, just vocals and ukulele. Very raw, very simple. Some additional noise, unintentional noises here and there.
I did not pick up on any. Really? I was listening for it, but...
Well, that's good. Anyway, from 1985, Hounds of Love by Kate Bush. Kate Bush is an English singer, songwriter, pianist, record producer, and a dancer. Actually, she has a lot of respect as a dancer, which surprised me.
I don't think I was aware of that.
She actually was kind of revolutionary in modern dance, which was interesting. Her music has been described as art pop or progressive pop, and she's known to employ literary and historical references in her lyrics. In 1978, at the age of 19, she became the first female artist to achieve a UK number one with a self-written song.
Oh, wow.
With her song Wuthering Heights, about the book Wuthering Heights.
Yeah.
I think I know more about the book from the song than I do from anything else. Much more recently, Kate Bush has seen a resurgence in popularity due to her song Running Up That Hill, A Deal With God, being used in the most recent season of Stranger Things.
We should have plugged that on the Stranger Things episode.
That's true. We probably should have mentioned we were reviewing.
Crossover, man.
We just did an episode of the TV show about Stranger Things. We probably should have mentioned we were going to be talking about Hounds of Love on the hearing. Anyway, of course, Running Up That Hill, A Deal With God is on Hounds of Love, her 5th studio album. It was released on September 16th, 1985 by EMI, produced by Kate Bush, and features Kate Bush on vocals, Fairlight synthesizer, and piano, and a very long list of additional musicians. I'm not going through it this time. Check Wikipedia. Reminder, I don't edit any songs into our reviews for copyright reasons, but on our blog at johnandscotto.com, you'll find links to Hounds of Love on Spotify and YouTube, so you can follow along if you'd like. I'm glad this isn't video because I make some weird moves when I talk. Particularly if it's like rehearsed stuff. Anyway, on to track one, Running Up That Hill, A Deal With God. They start with the single. Interesting. I don't know if it was this planned single from the beginning.
I wouldn't think so because none of the... okay, we've heard the song more than any other Kate Bush song.
Yeah.
Even before Stranger Things,
this was her most popular song, with the possible exception of the duet with Peter Gabriel, which we mentioned in the Stranger Things episode.
And there's, you know, the two work together a lot, and I even think he snuck on this album some background vocals.
He might have.
That's uncredited.
That explains that, like, demonic voice on one.
I don't think it was him.
It's not. Not him, because it's not credited, and it does not sound like Kate through a harmonizer. Anyway, I love the lyric concept of this one. From the story I heard, she was having a fight with her partner at the time.
Yeah.
And she had this idea of if we could switch places, we would understand each other a lot better.
Oh, okay.
So the idea is if men and women could switch places, they'd understand each other much better. Love the squeaky synth riff. Not sure how I feel about that repetitive bass and kick groove.
Like I was, you know... Really, the song is just that drum machine and those keyboard stabs.
Yeah.
But really, this is just about her vocals.
Yeah. It's just a canvas for her voice.
And a lesser singer, you'd be like, I don't think so.
Right.
But she makes it work.
And I've been working up a cover. It's actually harmonically really interesting, but all you notice outside of her voice is just that bum ba da dum ba da dum ba da dum.
Right. They probably had no idea that this was going to be the big single off this album that was going to define her career. There's so much more on this album that's put together than this.
And we'll get into this, but and I'm the one who's going to criticize the track order this time. It's kind of front-loaded with the commercial stuff. And then it gets weird.
Yes, it gets very weird. Well, weirder than I thought it was going to get. I should have expected
Okay,
this.
it's Kate Bush. But those first few songs are very commercial, including this one. I love how much louder it gets in the chorus. She's
Yeah.
great at dynamics. Love how the second verse just adds a couple of lines. It's
Right.
just slightly longer than the first. Really interesting approach there. Great guitar part in the bridge, great harmonies in the bridge.
The great Alan Murphy. He's only on like three tracks, I think.
Well, there isn't much guitar.
Always wondered what could have been if he had lived longer and did some more work with Level 42, but you know.
And he worked with, if I recall correctly, like a lot of people at the time, Tears for Fears,
Oh yeah, tons.
a lot of well-known pop artists. If you hear random guitar solo, that's really cool. It's
He
Alan Murphy.
worked on the Mike and the Mechanics album
Yes, that was the other
the
one
same
I remember
year.
him from, Silent Running, right?
Yeah, it's like, wait, isn't he the guitar player from Genesis? Well, kind of. He needed Alan Murphy.
As I've said many times, in fact, I said this off air last time, Mike Rutherford is one of the great underrated bass players of all time. I love his bass playing. His guitar playing is just kind of there.
Yeah, when you're doing the solo album and you got to bring in another guitar player.
I love that very 80s electronic drum fill coming out of the bridge. Love the loud guitar coming out of the chorus. I think it was a Steinberger, and I think that's what he played on a lot of the stuff at that time. I think the ending goes on a little too long.
I don't think I've ever heard the ending of the song.
No. I
It's
think there's
totally.
probably a video or radio edit that just kind of fades it at a reasonable point.
Yeah, definitely. That was kind of like a, whoa, I don't think I've ever heard this before.
But that low octave harmonizer at the end was really interesting.
Yeah, it was. Like, it kind of sets the tone for the whole album. Like,
That's
she
the
does this
first hint of the
beautiful
weirdness.
build, and then there's this completely weird part about it at the end. I wonder if she took from Depeche Mode and then
Probably.
Depeche Mode took back from her.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've never been a huge Depeche fan, but they were super fucking influential.
Yeah, they're definitely a band worth
Yeah.
your time to check out.
They've grown on me.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar to Kate Bush and who did we do last? Oh, Blur.
Blur.
And even, well, to a lesser extent, Girls. But particularly early 90s, 80s, in my adolescence, particularly from like 13 to early 20s, maybe 25, I was so much a guitar head and so much like a classic rock metal kind of guy. I didn't want to know anything about any music that wasn't guitar focused.
And it's strange because these bands that we for years just thought of as keyboard bands,
Had a
but then
lot
the more
more
you listen
guitar
to
than you
them,
thought.
there's a lot more guitar than
But, if the guitar wasn't up front and center, I didn't want to know about it. I didn't really expand my palate until I got into prog in my, kind of mid-20s. Kate Bush went right past me. I wish I had known more of her stuff at the time. Obviously, I said that about Blur. Depeche, another one who I've re recently come to really appreciate. Track two, Hounds of Love, getting back to Hounds of Love. Great groove. The drum part really reminds me of Phil Collins.
Oh, totally.
I
Yeah,
had to
that my
check to
notes
see if
too.
he played on the album.
I
He
did too.
didn't.
It's like, that's
Yeah. When was Intruder? I meant to check.
Intruder was 80.
Okay, so it was well before this, yeah.
And she sang background vocals on Intruder
Okay.
or that album at least. I don't think on Intruder itself. But she's
So,
on a few songs of that album.
yeah. So yeah, definite influence there. Say what you will about Phil Collins as a songwriter, incredibly influential drummer, and I think
Yeah.
again one of the great underrated drummers. I'm a huge fan of his work.
So underrated that they haven't put him in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame yet. Do you believe that?
Not even for a solo work, because that was insanely popular.
He's only in as a member of Genesis. He
That's
is not
bizarre.
in as a solo artist. And it's
Wow.
like, You can't say he was too soft because they just put in Lionel Richie.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's the Pop Hall of Fame. I've gone on that rant before.
Yeah.
But he absolutely needs to be in there. I mean, we were joking last week off air about how obscenely popular No Jacket Required was.
What I say is his lyric writing though is
No.
criminal.
Compositionally, he's a great songwriter. His
Right.
lyrics, not so much. I just hope they rectify that, well, before we have to do the inevitable tribute episode, because I don't
Yeah.
think it's going to be long.
Right.
But yeah, those drums on Hounds of Love, totally ripped off from Phil Collins.
Yes.
I love, we don't hear it enough, the low end of Kate Bush's register.
Right.
She spends a lot of time in her head voice, because that's what she's known for. Also, like the synth strings on the left during the chorus. Sorry, I tapped my mic. That's really all I have on this song.
Yeah, it's very quick. It kind of just comes in, says its piece, and goes. So there's no like hanging out with it. It's weird that that's the title track of the album, honestly.
You've said this about title tracks, and having just released an album with a title track, the title track isn't like the mission statement or representative of the album. It's just a song on the album that had a title that sounded cool for a title for the album.
Sure, that is one way to do it, but the whole point of the album is there's a theme, there's a reason these songs are together, and there's a song that quintessentially
That's one way to do it, but not
wraps it up, you
necessarily.
know?
I think that, and we've talked about this off air, I think it seems that way a lot more than it's done intentionally, just because writers tend to go to the same well a lot.
Right.
There are a ridiculous number who just write love songs. Kate Bush tends to go to that literary well a lot. I write about, as I was saying last time, I write about my mental health issues a lot.
Yeah.
It's every song that has lyrics on my album is it's autobiographical and it's about my mental health issues in some way.
And your title track nails it entirely, you know,
Yeah.
it encapsulates the whole thing.
That's the one I've gotten like more compliments on that one. From
Yeah.
the few people who've listened to it. Anyway, track three, The Big Sky. Love the off-kilter groove in the beginning, love the mix of, synth strings and piano. The verse groove feels very of its time. These are the commercial songs.
I love this one though. I mean, her vocals and just the textures layered of her different vocals at the beginning. Why the hell didn't Genesis try to get her as their lead singer?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, all due respect to Kate Bush, and like I said, I didn't really understand or appreciate her stuff when I was younger. This is absolutely the same Vincent situation because this has made me fall in love with her songwriting. But she would be a difficult person to be in a band with, I think.
But the vocal gymnastics
Oh,
here,
she's an incredible singer.
I mean, there's fucking like a near yodel going on at some point. You're just like, wow. And it's like not an embarrassing yodel. It's a good yodel, which is so hard to do.
And just to clarify that statement, I don't mean because of lead singer disease or any kind of major personality problem. From what I understand, actually, I recently saw an interview or a video on Tony Franklin's channel, bassist for The Firm, one of my favorites. He played live with Kate Bush for this version of Running Up That Hill with David Gilmour. If you look for it on YouTube, if you haven't seen it.
Wow.
And he was saying that, like, she in person is incredibly quiet and shy. So I'm not saying that she's difficult to be in a band with for her a personality issue, but she is very much an artiste.
She would have reminded them too much of Peter Gabriel, because that's exactly how he, you know, was,
She
probably
wants it
still
done her
is.
way. She wants full control of her music, and that's full admission, that's how I am. That is not someone who should be in a band. But back to Big Sky. Love the kind of playful background vocals. And there's this nice build into the second chorus. Great guitar part in the second chorus. The jet sound effect was interesting. And I think I heard something like, let's hold for the jet. It's kind of like reminded me of what I see on YouTube when they, in an outtake where they say like, hold for the plane. So they're not talking with a plane behind them. Love the groove in the chorus. Half of the song, though, is just writing out the chorus,
Yeah.
which gets monotonous. Though there are some nice harmonies in the second half.
Well, yeah, this whole combination of vocals, that stylings that she's doing, then all of a sudden goes gospel, and you're just like, wait, wow.
Track four, Mother Stands for Comfort. This is where it gets weird. At first note I have, I'd love to hear some acoustic drums. I was just
Not,
getting tired of the electric drums.
you're gonna have to wait another
Yeah.
5 years for that.
Well, no, there are some acoustic drums later in the album. Love the upright bass on this one. It sounds like a nice melodic, flowy fretless. Love the flowing melody, great piano sound. All of the glass sound effects are interesting.
It's, yeah, this weird like industrial thing with that standard sad bass line. It's always the sad bass line, I always call it, refer that to.
It's that, sliding fretless. I've been playing fretless for many years. I know that sound. I've made that sound, even though it's not my preferred.
I'm going with this one for weakest, though.
Interesting. It was almost my favorite, until something topped it. Love the sort of weird science fiction sound effects. The description, and I think this applies to a lot of Kate Bush's work, and I'm not going to say Kate Bush herself, but her public persona, pretty but creepy. Track five, Cloud Busting. This was another single, had an absolutely epic video.
Good God, there's so much to this.
Oh, yeah.
I watched the video before. I was in a total rabbit hole before. But this is my pick for strongest because it's
Okay.
like a movie in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the video has Donald Sutherland in it. It was conceived by Terry Gilliam.
Based on a book, the name of which escapes me at the moment.
I think it's this, it might even be the same name. It's like written by his son.
The son of a psychiatrist who inmates
Right.
about their relationship. Love the synth strings, love the melody. Love that synth that sounds like some kind of Asian instrument. I checked. There's no other kind of, obscure instrument on the song, so it's got to be a synth.
So, and the guy that it's named after, Wilhelm Reich, he claimed to have invented this, the cloud buster, device to create rain. It's a bunch of junk science, and he winds up getting arrested a few times by the FBI. But that's what the whole song is about.
I know that something good is going to happen as his son having faith in his father. It's going to work this time.
But here's the big revelation I had when I first heard this song 3 nights ago. Do you remember a band from the early 90s, well, band, loosely say, electronic duo, called the Utah Saints?
Vaguely. They did a lot of sampling, right?
They sample, like, her singing Something Good Is Going to
Oh, yeah,
Happen
I do
is
remember
the
that. Yes.
hook of the
Yes,
song
I remember
with
that.
the
Something
sampling
good,
of the
yeah.
music from the song, too. The whole, I never realized that song is pretty much a love letter to Kate Bush. They just did like this industrial dance version of it, pretty much, screaming Utah Saints. And even when they made the video, they took scenes from her video with her
Oh,
in it.
wow. Nice. I was actually wrong earlier when I think I said that Running Up That Hill was the only song I knew. I did know the song because the video got a lot of play, and the video was just fascinating.
I don't know how I don't remember the video. I mean, wow.
But I love the insistent kick going into the pre-chorus. The strings in the chorus are great. There's
Yeah.
this great kind of stuttery groove in verse two. As I said before, I've always respected the hell out of Kate Bush, but this is the first time that her music really connected with me.
It's like a Motown song being played on strings
Yeah, sort of.
with her singing over it. It's madness, the whole thing.
And I love the build toward the end.
Yeah. And if there's anything we haven't learned from this show is I'm a sucker for a great build.
You with the great build, me with distorted bass or a spoken
Yeah.
vocal. Track six and Dream of Sheep. Please don't take that context out of con or that title out of context. I'm This is a nice place for a ballad. Great piano sound. Love the dynamics in the vocal. The spoken bits once again remind me of Floyd because everything, any kind of spoken audio cut into a song reminds me of Dark Side.
I mean, there's a total dark side of the moon a little later on, but I was a little worried when I heard this because I was thinking this is the beginning of side two, and I'm like, is the second side just going to be this basic stripped down thing?
No.
And of course, boy, was I wrong.
Oh yeah. The whistling synth toward the end was a really interesting touch. Nice, tasteful, classical guitar. A guitarist named John Williams played on this, who, as I recall, not the Star Wars
Not
composer.
the Imperial March, John
No.
Williams.
Another classical guitarist, John Williams. Very, very well respected. I'm curious if it's the same guy. Track 7, Under Ice. Great synth strings, nice groove. Again, nice to hear the low end of a register. Great harmonies. Love the kind of creepy build and how it just kind of trails off at the end.
Definitely a Peter Gabriel influence on this one.
Oh, yeah.
And just the way this dramatic build with without, rock instruments,
Yeah. True, it's all
but yet it
synthesizers and
rocks.
piano. Actually, I don't even have notes about piano, it's all synths. Yeah, Kate discovered the Fairlight synthesizer on her previous album, which kind of bombed. But, like a lot of people in this era, they discover a synthesizer, and particularly in her case, because she is a keyboard player, and just get obsessed with it. Track 8, Waking the Witch. The wake up at the beginning really caught me off guard. This is a weird one.
Oh yeah.
There's this chorus of movie clips of people saying wake up, kind of creeped me out.
Yeah, this is total dark side of the moon territory,
Oh yeah.
but I mean, you can't say it's derivative though. It
No,
is
no.
like something you've never heard before.
Really nice piano part. After a few commercial songs, she got properly weird.
You could hear some metal bands like sitting there and listening to this going, wait, we should try this.
And it starts off as this kind of soft ballady thing with all these creepy, movie clips. And I was not prepared for it to speed up. And then we get this low demonic voice. No one else is credited on vocals for this song. Either it's an uncredited guest or it's Kate through a harmonizer.
I think it's Kate through a harmonizer, honestly.
Yeah, it might be.
That fast forward effect, though, is just wild.
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck comes up with that, man?
She
Wow.
rolls in, and I'm wondering how much record company involvement there was, because those first few songs sounded like 85.
Yeah.
I mean, they're interesting, they're good songs, but they sound like 85. And after that, it's
Kate Bush got
just,
to eat, you know?
yeah. And then after that, it's just Kate being Kate.
Yeah. And then, yeah, this just, I mean, insane. The contrast of the devil and the church bells, at the same time. Just wow.
Kate Bush was the musical equivalent of the Manic Pixie Dream Girl before the Manic Pixie Dream Girl was a
I say in my notes this has more of a Bowie feel to it, but on steroids and meth.
She's just pure quirk.
And yeah, I swear I hear some Peter Gabriel
Oh, yeah.
vocals somewhere layered just very in the
Oh,
background, him
probably.
just kind of wailing randomly.
Makes sense.
There's only one guy that sounds that way. You gotta really listen for it, but I swear it's there.
If he had her on an album in 80, I mean, she was big with Wuthering Heights, but I suspect they probably knew each other socially,
I
personally.
think she may have even been on the earlier ones because there were some backing vocals on Here Comes the Flood and his first album.
She wasn't like someone paid to come in to do vocals. She was a friend sitting in, on his album. And it's the same deal, She asked him to come in to do a thing on her album. He maybe didn't want the credit because he maybe didn't want to overshadow her or something.
But yeah, she's on No Self-Control and Games Without
Oh yeah,
Frontiers.
she's Geoffrey. The French part, I can't ever remember the quote. That's Kate Bush. Forgot about that. Track 9, Watching You Without Me. Nice kind of percussion in the beginning, even though it's a mix of electronic percussion and synths. Great groove, more upright bass. Love the upright bass on this album. Love the whole vibe on this one.
Yeah, you need this between the two.
Yeah,
You need
because
this interlude.
the super weird one, and then just kind of, yeah, and it's not an interlude, it's 4:06, it's not a
Right,
short
right.
song.
It's just in this dream state. And you would think that Waking the Witch was like an epic thing, but that was only a little over 4 minutes,
Yeah,
too.
418. Love the almost atonal, almost off time harmonies toward the end. There's these vocals. They're not off, but there's something off about them.
Right.
And the glitchy vocal at the end, ahead of its time. People buy
Yeah.
guitar pedals to get a glitchy sound these days. She was doing it in 85 with a vocal.
It just puts you in a state, you know. It is a whole dreaminess of this one.
Yeah. She was, or is, she still is, retired like a decade ago, but still is with us. And she's just a fucking genius.
And by the way, I think the Utah Saints, since it was back in the Wild West days of sampling still, I think they had just sent her a thank you letter. I don't think they actually paid her. It was like a top 10 hit the UK for them.
Honestly, we given royalties, even in 85, probably she wouldn't have made much.
Right.
She's probably made like $5 off of it since Stranger Things.
Oh, I'm sure she made a lot of Ross Stranger Things.
Don't know. I mean, it got played a lot, but they probably didn't have to pay much of a royalty for a 30, nearly 40-year-old song.
Yeah, but they used it throughout the season, you know?
True, true.
Like, they needed, you know, multiple episodes. Yeah. I'm
That's
sure
true.
she
That's
got.
true. Yeah, and she was very appreciative of, she released a statement about it.
Of course.
She's done that Bridget Bardot thing where she like doesn't even appear in public anymore, hasn't made a record in
Wow.
like 10 years, 11
So
years.
much for my concept of a Stranger Things halftime show at the
Yeah.
Super Bowl.
So yeah, she's fully retired, a recluse.
Was expecting her and Metallica,
Oh
and then
God.
they end doing the Never Ending Story theme together.
Oh God, I want to see that.
She starts with Running Up the Hill, then you get Metallica do Master
Of
Puppets, and
course.
then you bring out Dustin to do some vocals of the Never Ending Story theme, and you know.
Oh shit, something I forgot to
There you
mention
go.
about Master of
That's your
Puppets.
Super Bowl halftime show.
Outside of the solo, Joseph Quinn actually played it.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool. Dude's got some talent. But I would kill to see, also in season 5, I want more Susie. But yeah, I would kill for that, but not gonna happen because she's retired.
Yeah, that's a shame.
And I'm sure James would be up for it.
Of course.
Track 10, Jig of Life. This is my pick for favorite.
Yeah, this is my second favorite.
It's just got this nice Irish folk groove. According to 23andMe, I'm mostly British, but there is still a bit of Irish in there. This really does hit me. Love the fiddle part. Tori Amos took a lot from this song.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, Tori Amos took her whole shtick from Kate Bush, but.
Yes. Yeah, there was always kind of a thing with her, like, going, I mean, you took my whole act, kind of.
If you've ever seen Tori Can't Read,
Yeah.
the band she was in before she became popular as a solo artist, are you familiar with this at all?
I am familiar with it, but I don't think I've actually listened to it.
Hair metal. She was in a
Wow.
hair metal band before she decided to steal Kate Bush's whole thing and became a solo artist. But it's simple and back to Jig of Life, simple and repetitive, but it never gets monotonous for me. It reminds me a lot of Tull. I mean, Kate was definitely pulling from Tull on this one.
And it's not just a traditional folk music kind of thing. There's
No.
like some weird key changes in
Oh,
there
yeah.
that, I mean, I'm familiar enough with the folk music aspect of it to know that like that wouldn't be in there
Don't know.
normally.
It gets a little interesting harmonically, a little more
Yes.
interesting than traditional folk music would be. Love the fiddle part in the middle when it changes. I was just dancing at this point. It's much like Passion Play by Tull, where it gets very Irish in that middle section.
Yeah.
It speaks to a part of me that I have to move. Oh yeah, I put this moment here. The interlude in the song where she just says, "I put this moment here." Love that part. Always love the spoken vocal. It's just fun.
I didn't even realize. Wait, that's kind of just a meta thing of her talking about putting the section of the song there. You know, I'm always kind of trying to think of what the hell does she mean by that? But you're right. That's what that is.
I put this moment here. It was, that's just pure British comedy. It's just, I'm just saying what I did here.
That's her brother doing like the narration too.
And he plays some instrument. I think he plays the bouzouki and a couple other things on it. Track 11, Hello Earth. Great melody. Love the piano part. Great groove when the drums do come in. Love the harmonies when the drums drop out. It's almost kind of like a Gregorian thing.
Right, it's a slower version of running up that hill, the first part.
What about, yeah.
And it's like this, it's a good build though, of course. It's just where it builds to, I was not expecting.
Yeah, this is absolutely the climax. It really goes on a journey, even just in the first couple of minutes.
Well, you know, when you knew a climax was coming, but the definition of climax, you're expecting like, holy shit, she's going to take you to this other level. And instead, you get Gregorian.
It's another level.
I'm sitting here like my jaw dropped, like, wait, what?
Fucking genius.
I don't think, you know, it's very rare to be surprised musically by someone, you know, because you listen to so much prog rock, but this album did it in several spots, so this was
Oh yeah.
definitely one of them.
Annie is often referred to as art pop. Love Annie, all due respect. This is fucking art pop.
Yeah. I'm not even sure if I like the medieval vocals, but god damn, it was shocking.
I just love that. I just love how weird it got.
Right?
At that point, it exceeds what I actually personally care for aesthetically. I just appreciate the guts.
Like musically, I can't see myself like listening to it regularly, but god damn the brass plated balls to do
Exactly. Great harmonies midway. I have the note acoustic drums with four exclamation marks.
that. Well, it wasn't that you had to wait 5 years, you just had to go back 400.
The whispered vocals and sound effects at the end were really interesting. And finally, track 12, The Morning Fog. This is my pick for weakest. She just kind of went back to commercial on this one.
It was kind of a light denouement to just wrap it up.
Nice acoustic guitar, getting more great upright, nice harmonies. It's just kind of one note.
Right. It's a contrast to the weird,
Oh, yeah.
heavy hell and earth kind of thing that
Right.
she had in the last few
She
tracks.
gets severely weird and then severely not weird.
And that's the end of our show kind of thing.
Do you recommend it?
Definitely.
I strenuously recommend it.
What a wild ride this was.
Kate Bush is a musical genius, one of the greats of our time. And that's it for Hounds of Love until 2 weeks from now, because you need next week off, when we'll be reviewing Emerson, Lake and Palmer's self-titled debut album, More Prog.
Wow. Yeah.
Always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There
are.
you are.